In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A mighty fortress is your God, who protects and shields you from the onslaughts of the devil and the sinful world and your own sinful flesh. A mighty fortress to whom you can flee when confronted by temptation, when your sin rises up and accuses you, and the devil taunts you and says, and you call yourself a Christian, and you did that. Hi, you belong to me, not God. But the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. The devil is a defeated foe. He is a whipped dog, and he has no power over you, because a champion has come to fight for you. The victorious one, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, he comes to fight for you and is by your side in the midst of every struggle, in the midst of every one of life's difficulties. And when you sin, when you fall, he who shed his holy precious blood for you comes and gently picks you up and restores you again. And so you go on. You go on in the struggle with Christ by your side throughout your earthly days until the triune God in his mercy brings you to the eternal life of heaven, to the resurrection of the body, and the feast of all feasts. In today's Old Testament reading, the devil promised Eve a feast, and secondarily, Adam. He tempted Eve to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he did it in kind of a roundabout, sly, devilish way. The devil comes to us like an angel of light, Scripture says, but inward he is really a ravenous, roaring lion. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did he really say that? Or perhaps you are mistaken, Eve. He tempts Eve to doubt God's word. He tempts Eve to go against God's command. Eve's problem was that she dialogued with the devil. She said to the serpent, well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, lest you die. Now, presumably, Adam was with her, and at this point, he should have trampled the serpent into the dust. But that work would be accomplished by a second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. The serpent tries to get Eve to doubt God's word. Now, he denies God's word. He tells Eve that God is lying, when it's the serpent who is lying all the time. You will not surely die, because God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You can be God. You just can decide for yourself what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is true, and what is not. So the woman looked at the tree more closely, saw it was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. Must have been a beautiful fruit. And by the way, it is not identified as an apple. Mark Twain said, it's a pity that the Lord God didn't tell Adam and Eve not to eat the serpent, because they would have surely done so. But Jesus is the one who takes care of the serpent. So the woman, wanting this particular fruit, out of all the other fruits in the garden, this woman delighting in the beauty of this fruit, This woman, knowing that the tree was to be desired, to be wanted, so one could become wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. If he'd had pockets, he would have had his hands in his pockets and been off somewhere else on another planet. But he ate too, and thus the Lord God's threat came true. The consequence of their sin happened. And from that moment, they were spiritually dead. It would take physical death a while to catch up with them. And since that one fatal bite, it's as though all of us took a bite of the fruit. And that fruit seared our mouths, seared our insides, and we were born spiritually dead, and we too are doomed to die. A matter of life and death seemed to have won in the garden. And yet, there is a promise. It's called the Proto-Evangelium. That means first gospel. The first gospel. You see, the gospel always follows upon sin. God pronounces his judgment, pronounces his law, condemns us with his law, but then sees that the gospel is proclaimed to us to give us hope, to give us life, to free us from our sin. So the Lord God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring, literally your seed and her seed, and he, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, every time seed is used in the Bible, well, not every time, but many times, seed is used in the Bible to refer to the semen of the male. But this is the only place in the Bible where it refers to what issues from the woman. And what issues from the woman, from the second Eve, from Mary, the mother of our Lord, is the one who will triumph, the one who will hold the field victorious, the one who will crush the serpent's head and free us from our bondage to sin and death and decay and hell. And we see all this beginning to play out in the Holy Gospel reading. Jesus is led by the Spirit. Mark says, driven by the Spirit into the wilderness precisely to be tempted by the devil. Jesus is the second Adam. He came to undo what the first Adam got wrong. He came to clean up the mess and to restore the original purity and beauty of God's creation. And how would he do so? Well, the tempter offers Jesus three alternative ways to accomplish God's purposes. Jesus has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He is hungry. Maybe some of you didn't eat breakfast this morning and your stomach's already growling. Or maybe you did eat breakfast and your stomach's already growling. But 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. The tempter comes to him right after his baptism, where Jesus heard the words, truly, you are the Son of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The tempter says, well, if you are the Son of God, then hey, command these stones to become loaves of bread. In other words, use your miraculous mighty powers for your benefit, Jesus. Do it my way and not God's way. But Jesus answered, and he quotes Scripture. He himself, who is true God and true man, drew strength from the Holy Scriptures. He who is without sin drew strength from the holy word of God. So how much more must we who are sinful by nature draw our strength from the word of God? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, strike one against the devil. So then the devil takes him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and he places Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple where he can see everything, all of Jerusalem. And I'm making a lot of noise here. I need to stand still. Okay. If you are the Son of God, and I'm still not sure, throw yourself down, for it is written, and the devil quotes Scripture. You know, we, if we really try, can find in Scripture some verse that seems to justify our disobedience or our sin or whatever. But we hold true to the Word of God as it stands written. The devil may try to interpret scripture for us and to us. Forget him. He is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So throw yourself down, because the scripture says God will command his angels concerning you, and they'll bear you up in your hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Well, Jesus' foot was going to be used to crush the serpent's head. And he would do so with feet that were pierced through and hands that were pierced through by the nails of the cross. Again, Jesus says to him, it is written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Hey, he can do all things. You don't have to test him. I trust him. And this is not the way I will draw a following to myself, Satan. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. God promises to protect you and keep you, but don't go standing out in the middle of Interstate 40, running back and forth between the lanes saying, ah, cars can't hit me, God's protecting me. That would be putting the Lord your God to the test. So finally, the devil takes Jesus up to a very high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, all their might, their grandeur, their power. And he says in Luke, all these have been given to me, and I will give them to you. If you will just fall down and worship me, if you just do this little thing, bow the head to me, Jesus, bend the knee, and all this can be yours. Third strike against the devil. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords already. He is the King who humbled himself, who abased himself, who descended into death on the cross for his people and into the grave. He is a king who conquers the devil and conquers the enemies of the church, not by might or any show of strength, but by his suffering and death for the sins of the world. The devil tried to get Jesus to be a glorious Messiah, a Messiah who would win by political persuasion, a Messiah who would crack down on the people and smash their heads in if they did not give him the proper respect. But again, as Genesis says, Jesus would smash the devil's head, and he did so precisely by the tree of the cross. Listen to the proper preface for communion today, what it has to say about the tree of the cross. A matter of life and death. If Jesus had listened to the devil and followed the devil, it would have meant life for him. It would have meant no cross for him. But you and I would still be dead to God, dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus chose the way of death so he could give eternal life to us. Jesus chose the way of apparent defeat. So when we seem to be defeated, as my mother was when she died thirsty, that defeat, that apparent defeat, can be turned into victory. Victory over sin, victory over the world, victory over the devil. Do you know what Jesus wants you to eat? What he's commanded you to eat, because it's good for you. It's not broccoli, it's not Brussels sprouts, it's not turnips or anything like that. It's the gift of his body and blood. This gift that comes to you from the tree of the cross. That's what he bids you eat. The medicine of immortality. The meal that strengthens your faith in your struggles against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The meal that is a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. You and I can't make it on our own. We surely are in the wilderness of this world being tempted, not merely for 40 days, but for our lifetimes, from the font to the grave. And there is a special tree of whose fruit God would have us eat in the midst of our wilderness journey. Do I have to tell you what that meal is? Cast your eyes forward. Look beyond the crucifix. Look beyond the representation of the suffering of Christ on the cross. And there are the benefits of Christ's sufferings and death for you in his real, true body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins and for your salvation. Matter of life, matter of death. Thanks be to God, Jesus conquered. He conquered sin, death, and the devil for you and for me. And by God's grace, through faith in him, we receive the gift of life unending, of life glorious. It's all free. One, at the cost of Jesus' suffering and death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.